For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Victory broadcast. As Christmas Day approaches, the last thing that is apparent in society around us is peace and contentment. Both seem rather unlikely in this world. The one who came to earth to provide peace is also given an unlikely description by the prophet Isaiah. Today, Pastor Holland concludes his message from Isaiah, chapter 53, entitled, Jesus, the Unlikely Savior.
So Isaiah had a task. He had to preach to the Jewish people and remind them that they had a coming Savior and a coming King, but he was not the likely one. He was not one that you would think that would be coming. Second of all, he was not only an unbelievable message, but it was an unlikely Messiah. Go back to chapter 53 and verse 2. The Bible said, For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Isaiah begins to describe the Messiah. It's not one in a flattering way. He's the unlikely Messiah. But he does so in a way that is less flattering. Isaiah follows his unbelievable message by describing this unlikely Messiah. I want you to consider with me the fact of the description that he gives to us. First of all, he refers to him as a tender plant. The phrase speaks of a new shoot. Now, again, I want to emphasize that. I'm not much on plants, but anybody that knows a plant, if it's growing, oftentimes, in fact, I've got some bushes in my yard, and it seems like every time we get them trimmed down to where they look nice, these little green shoots shoot up. And it won't be long before it'll need trimming again. But these are new, tender shoots that appear. They're delicate. They're a frail part of the plant, and it'll just push its way up. They're easily broken. They are weak. They lack power. So the phrase that he's referring to, I believe, emphasizes he'll be as a tender plant, just like a little babe. Isn't that what he came as? He came as a little babe. A little babe, when they're born, they're helpless. A baby at the breast of the mother, needing comfort rather than giving it. Needing nourishment rather than being able to provide it. Needing protection rather than being able to protect others. And this is an absolute image of something of weakness. Thank God today, and we're grateful for children and little children, and they're a blessing, but literally when they come, they're helpless. Up until they grow a little bit and mature a little bit, they need attention. They need provision. They need food. They need nourishment. They need protection. They need someone to watch over them. And likewise, this is the way that he described him. New growth and newborn babies are delicate, fragile, and frail. But then he said a root out of dry ground. He's pictured here as a gnarled root, stubbornly clinging to life in a dry and sun-baked, cracked desert. He'd be like a plant found in the most unlikely place. He'll show up at the most least expected place, maybe an inn, on a night when there was no room in the inn. That's where he showed up, wasn't it? He had no form of comeliness. The word comeliness, or the word majesty, it means he had no form of appearance as the Messiah. They were looking for a glorious king. He talks about the Messiah. Had no beauty that you should desire him. The word desire means to covet or to long for. It means to delight in the thing or a person that drives one to possess it of them. The word beauty refers to that which strikes the eye. The people will see the Messiah, but they'll see anything but that which is physically robust. They'll see anything but that which is mighty. They'll see anything but that which is great when they look upon him. We know the identity of the Messiah. His name is Jesus. And I tell you, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Paul described the way Jesus came into the world. The Bible said he took upon himself the form of a servant. I tell you today, I'm grateful that when he came, He came into this world. He willingly left heaven and came to earth in order that he might save an old sinful world. And the Bible said that he was made in the likeness of man. And could I remind you this morning, this same weak, unlikely, frail Jesus that we see prophesied that would come was literally a Jesus of great power and great strength and of great might that would literally provide salvation for you and I. But I want you to understand, he took upon himself the form of a man. Isaiah describes him as a tender plant, a helpless baby, if you will. The Creator becomes dependent upon the creation. Isn't that amazing? For every need, Mary nourished God with the milk from her breast, and she comforted him when he cried, and she changed him, and she nurtured him, and she loved him, and she taught him. I think as time went on, he refers to him as a root out of dry ground. He came from a place no one expected him to come from. He came from a little city called Bethlehem. And the fact the Bible says it prophesied in Micah 5:8 before he ever came that he was from Bethlehem Ephratah. He was born in a tiny country called Israel. He was born not in a fine palace surrounded by trimmings of wreaths and Christmas trees and decorations with all the pomp and glory. But he came in a place of poverty, in order that all those who would come by faith could receive salvation in him. In 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that he through his poverty might be made rich. I wonder tonight, or this morning, how many people would be willing to give up their riches in order that somebody could go to heaven. Friend, Jesus Christ gave it all in order that we might go to heaven. He described him as having no comeliness. There was no beauty. There was no physical presence. There was nothing in his appearance that caused anyone to desire him. In the minds of all that saw him, he was just a poor man. While he was just Joseph's son, Joseph the carpenter. Truly not of a great reputation. Maybe a good reputation as far as God was concerned, but as far as the world, just a carpenter's son. Most people did not understand that he was the Son of God. But I'm glad some did. And the Bible said, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I wonder how you look at the Messiah this morning. I wonder today if you see him as an unlikely Messiah. It was an unbelievable message. Wouldn't it have been a lot of grander and greater if some great, glorious king, and by the way, he was all that, he did not appear that way. But wouldn't it have been great, it seems, to the world, if somebody in their great majesty and power would have come, somebody with great ability could have come and gave their life, then perhaps many might have received him. But friend, we have to accept him for who he is. An unbelievable message, but an unlikely Messiah. And lastly this morning, an uncommon ministry. Look at verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Wait a minute, Isaiah. Now you're telling us this king's coming. And this king don't have anything desirable to look upon. He's as a tender plant. He's as a little babe. He's not able to protect himself. And he's coming to save us. Yep, that's what I'm saying. And then you're telling me he's going to be despised and rejected of men? Come on, Isaiah. I mean, are you kidding us? Well, what do you mean? There's nobody like that. He said he would be despised and rejected. Man, he'd be scorned. He'd be ridiculed. He'd be denied. He'd be lacking anything except people desiring him for who he is. They'll see him. And by the way, people today still see him, but they don't believe him. Corky had some tags made up. Some of you might have been the beneficiary of one placed on your car. But it was the three wise men, and it said, wise men still seek him. My friend, I want you to know today, wise men do still seek him for who he is. He was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. Sorrow, affliction, pain, suffering. The word grief means affliction and injury. He was acquainted with both. It speaks of his intimate familiarity. He was familiar with all of that. A man of sorrows acquainted with grief. The Messiah will intimately be familiar with hardship, suffering, and affliction. And could I remind you, that ought to be an encouragement to you and I, because God knows what you're going through. God knows what you're experiencing. He knows where you're at. And even though sometimes we don't understand and sometimes we wonder why, I want to remind you, God's already been there. The Bible said he was poor. He said he had no place to lay his head. According to John 4:6, he had weariness of a body. His physical body became tired. In John 11:33-38, he had the pain of a broken heart. In Mark 14:50, he experienced loneliness. Imagine that. Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, experienced loneliness. He knew what it was like, according to John 4:15, to be thirsty. He knew what it was like to suffer physically, according to Isaiah 53. And if you read verses 4-6, you'll see that. But most of all, not only does he know what it's like to experience pain and thirst and loneliness and rejection, but Jesus Christ knows what it's like, according to Luke 23:46, to experience death. But the Bible said Jesus hung on the cross and he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then he bowed his head and said, it is finished. Doesn't seem to be the most likely prospect, does it? But he's an uncommon ministry. He came in order that we might be saved. How does he do these things? You see, the Bible says that he's despised, rejected men, and we hid our faces from him. He was despised. He was contemptible. The Jews esteemed him not. The word esteem means to account or to reckon. But what was true of the Jews in Jesus' time is still true today. Friend, the world still mocks this man called Jesus. He lived out his life on the world. He lived 33 years. He set example. He led his disciples. He led them to the places where they were. And he died in order that you and I might be saved. But you know how we get saved? The Holy Spirit of God that he left us here as a comforter has to arrest our soul and show us the need and the importance of being saved by the grace of God. John 1:11, he came into his own, and his own received him not. In John 1:12-13, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Have you accepted God's gift of the unlikely Savior? The gift is freely available to you. To access this and many more sermons online, please visit victorybaptistchurch.us. That's victorybaptistchurch.us. Will you choose victory today?
This is Gary Holland, and today's message came to you from the pulpit of Victory Baptist Church, where I serve as pastor. If God has touched your life through the Voice of Victory broadcast, please let us know by contacting us at victorybaptistchurch.us, where all regular services are webcast live. Written correspondence can be addressed to Victory Baptist Church at 938 North Pine Tree Boulevard, Thomasville, Georgia, 31792. We would like to invite you to our services this morning at Victory Baptist Church, or you can join us on the internet. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week at this same time.